I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Time for the educational part of the program here. Well, we'll learn, at least I will, and hopefully you will too, something about the Islanders as we welcome in Brian Compton, who is the deputy managing editor slash Islanders writer for NHL.com. Now, I don't know, Brian, what deputy managing editor is, but I do know what writing for NHL.com covering the Islanders is, and you could help us answer a bunch of questions here. First, let's just start with this. I mean, boy, what a streak here. You're talking a historic streak, a historic streak, 15 straight games with a point for this Islanders group here. I mean, have you ever seen any kind of run like this? Forget about even just with the Islanders. Overall, they are on some kind of run here, Bry.
Yeah, I mean, I was five when they won 15 in a row in 1982, so I don't really remember that run for the Islanders, Sal, but this is crazy, and it's because they're doing it in so many different ways. With guys injured and, you know, rotating goalies back and forth from the start of this stretch, falling behind these past two games. I mean, this is the first time in history where a team has won back-to-back games despite being down by multiple goals with 7 minutes left. It's just insane what they're doing. And it's a great story. So thanks for having me tonight.
And no problem. And the way that they're doing it, I think you touched on it, being down late in these games where normally you'd be like, yeah, okay, well, who cares? All right, they lose a game, no big deal. They don't come away with points. But the fight, I mean, who was that a testament to? Is that the system that's been put in place with Lamoriello and then Trotz? Is it the players? I mean, it's got to be some kind of a combination. But where do you pinpoint this team's, I guess, you know, fortitude from?
Well, I think it's from the top all the way down, Sal. From Lou Lamoriello to Barry Trotz to Anders Lee, their captain, and, the other 20 guys in the room. I mean, they have so much character in that room. From top to bottom. And yeah, I mean, look, Barry Trotz is going to get the bulk of the credit. He's the reigning Jack Adams winner. We know his resume, winning a Stanley Cup in Washington, delivering that franchise their first championship a couple of years ago. So it starts with him, but just the leadership that they have from top to bottom. And like I was saying earlier, just the different guys contributing every night. Anthony Beauvillier has been a monster these past couple of games in particular, but really he's probably their most improved forward under Barry Trotz. And now that this is year two under Trotz, he's really picked up things under this system, and he's been a godsend for this hockey club, no question.
Let's take this back, Brian. We're talking about Brian Compton, covers the Islanders for NHL.com. Let's take this back to the beginning, because once the Islanders made the decision to hire Lou Lamoriello, and then Lamoriello makes the decision to hire Trotz, you kind of knew, even for the non-expert like myself, you knew that this organization was going to be okay here. Hiring those guys, they always get it turned around. What specifically did you see from Lamoriello initially that started to turn this thing in the right direction?
Well, it was hiring Barry Trotz. I mean, that was the first thing that he did, and he couldn't have made a better decision, obviously. And you know, fans were obviously hesitant when Lou first got the job, when he came out and said, we're going to hire the best coach available, because fans have heard that before. But holy smokes, I mean, they hired Barry Trotz, what, a week after he won the Stanley Cup with the Capitals. So just starting there, and, he didn't do a whole lot to the roster, and they lose John Tavares, and things were supposed to just go even more downhill than things that had already gone, Sal, right? And bringing in Robin Leonard for last year, and he, you know, he's a Vezina finalist, and, you know, the way that they've corrected the goals against, I mean, they went from allowing the most goals in the league to the fewest last year, which is just crazy, because it was essentially the same group minus John Tavares coming back, and you have all these young kids on the blue line, whether it's Ryan Pollock or Adam Pellick, Scott Mayfield, Devontae's, who came up right before Christmas last year, to cut down the goals against in the fashion that they have. It's a testament to Lou and Barry when Lou first got the job, saying, we allowed 297 goals last year. There is no way that that's going to happen again. And obviously actions speak louder than words, and we've seen it.
You know, and you're right, because obviously this Islanders team, it wasn't like they were awful before Lamoriello and Trotz got there, but they were sloppy and they scored a lot, but they couldn't stop anybody. It was always, to me, goaltending the issue and defensively. So they've cleaned that up. But you mentioned two huge things here. I mean, they lost Leonard, and Varlamov comes in and they haven't missed a beat. Tavares, they lose him, and everybody's like, how could the Islanders lose a superstar? They better fold up. You know, Barzal has been tremendous filling that void. The Islanders have gotten better with losing Tavares. So how exactly does that happen? They're a better team, the better chemistry. You're just attributing that to Trotz in the system. I mean, how do you lose a superstar? Let's start there. How do you lose a superstar like Tavares and basically not miss a beat?
I think last year, Sal, they just fed off the whole mantra that they were going to be terrible. Like all the quote-unquote experts saying that they were going to be a garbage team and they're going to finish last in the standings and they're going to have the number one pick in the following year draft and all that stuff. But now I think they just believe that they're a good hockey team. And they are a good hockey team. I tweeted this the other night, you know, after they beat Philadelphia. You know, Barry Trotz is a wonderful coach and he's going to go to the Hall of Fame someday. There's no question about that, but you don't go on a run like this unless you have good players. You just don't. And they have a really good hockey team, and they believe in each other and they're playing for the guy next to them. And that's something Barry has been stressing from the moment that he got here.
Talk about Barzal and how great he's been here.
Yeah. I mean, look, the speed, I mean, he's just such a dynamic skater and, you know, Barry has been imploring Matt, especially last year, to shoot the puck more, and he's starting to do that this year, and it's paying dividends. His bread and butter, Sal, is when these games get to overtime. I mean, he is so good in this three-on-three. He just creates so much open space, and he finds the open man, and bang, right? I mean, he's just such a dynamic player. But he's getting help. I mean, Brock Nelson has been really, really good under Barry Trotz. He's really picked up his game in both ends of the ice. You know, Josh Bailey is playing all over the place. No matter what Barry asks Josh to do, he does it. He scored a huge goal tonight to get them within a goal. You just go up and down the roster. They really haven't gotten a ton of goals from Anders Lee yet, Sal, and I think that's what makes the streak even more impressive.
How about the goaltending situation? We talk about it, losing Leonard, who was great for them, and then they add Varlamov here. Talk about him and how basically they haven't – you think they have upgraded here with losing Leonard?
I wouldn't call it an upgrade. I think it's kind of parallel. And, you know, the main reason they brought Semien in is because he has a relationship with Ilya Sorokin, their third-round pick from 2014, Sal, who's, from what I've been told, is the best goalie not playing in the National Hockey League. And he's wrapping up his last year in the KHL this year, and he's supposed to come aboard next year. But Semien has been, you know, I would say inconsistent would be the word. Thomas Greiss has really stolen the show here over the first month and a half, Sal. But and that's the other thing, talking about this streak, and I was alluding to it before. There, Barry Trotz has alternated goalies over the entire course of this streak. But Varlamov has allowed four here over the past couple of starts. It'll be interesting to see if Greiss performs well Thursday night when the Penguins are here in Brooklyn. If Greiss will get another start when they make this West Coast trip to San Jose on Saturday night. We'll see.
Incredible to me that they could have this consistency in this type of streak when they're rotating goalies. I mean, it's something they did a year ago, so essentially they just replaced Varlamov with Leonard, the other way around. They replaced Leonard with Varlamov, and then they're doing the same thing, and they're on an incredible streak. We're talking about Brian Compton covering the Islanders for NHL.com. You mentioned the character of this team. We saw last year around the trade deadline where they could have added, maybe people thought they needed to add, but they didn't. They thought it was important for the character, the chemistry, whatever the reasons may be. What do you think this year? I know it's a little early, but you think this team will Lou pull the trigger and add to a piece that he thinks may be the missing piece? Or you think they're going to want to be conservative again and keep everything intact here because of the chemistry on this group?
Yeah, you know, they tried to get Mark Stone at the deadline last year, Sal, and then they couldn't get a deal done. And then Lou offered Artemi Panarin the most money on July 1st, and at the end of the day, Panarin just wanted to play on Broadway with the Rangers. So it's not as though Lou is sitting on his hands and not trying to improve this hockey team. So to answer your question, yeah, I mean, if there's a player that they think that they can get as a rental when the deadline rolls around and they're willing to pull the trigger, I think that we'll do it. I mean, especially now, I mean, they can win the Cup. I mean, why can't they? I mean, with the way that they've been playing, I know they're still behind Washington in the standings, Sal, but the Caps have played four more games than them. So it'll be certainly interesting to see how it shakes out come trade deadline, but I think Lou will pull the trigger if he can.
Well, I was going to be my next question. How seriously – now, I don't think these type of runs are fluky, right? I mean, I think there's got to be something about it that helps a team win or get a point in 15 straight games. So I don't think this is a fluky run. Plus, it's not like they came out of nowhere. They were a good team last year. They've been a good team, you know, over the course of the last couple of years. But what are we looking at big picture? I mean, you're looking at the Caps, who were never an easy out. Carolina, who swept them last year. You know, Pittsburgh, I guess, could be dangerous. The Bruins are always a nasty team. But do the Islanders stack up? I don't know enough about it. I'm not watching the NHL night in, night out. I'll watch it in the postseason, or, you know, the weeks leading into the postseason. Where, though, Bride, do they stack up right now amongst the powerhouses in the Eastern Conference?
Yeah, I think the Bruins are the one team that they just don't match up against Al at all. I can't see them beating the Bruins in the best of seven in April or May, whenever that series could possibly take place. But Tampa Bay is ultimately going to make the playoffs, and they're going to have a huge chip on their shoulder after, you know, the season that they had last year, winning the President's Trophy, pretty much wrapped up by Valentine's Day, and then getting swept in the first round of the playoffs. Mm. So they match up pretty well against Washington. We've seen how well that they play against Toronto, right? So I think the Bruins would be the worst matchup of the powerhouses in the Eastern Conference for sure.
Yeah, right, but they may not have to face them. So outside
exactly.
of that, you
yeah.
don't outside of that, you don't look at a team and say, well, the Islanders can't beat that team. I mean, look, anything can happen. I understand in the series, but you want to see power rankings-wise where you put the Islanders. You're putting them top three?
Absolutely. I mean, we do our Super 16 here at .com every week, and I'm going to have them number one or number two this week for sure, and I've had them number two the past few. Look, this team has become impossible to ignore. I mean, this is not a fluke, like we were saying. 103 points last year, having home ice advantage for the first time in a playoff series since 1988. This is maybe, other than the Yankees, Sal, I mean, is there a more premier team in this market right now? They're a tremendous story. They really are.
Now, that's not saying much. I mean, the teams in this area stink. But I get your point. Look, the fact that we're talking about them here in mid-November is a big deal. So, I mean, this is a huge streak, and it is nice to know that they would be atop the power rankings, that they have some. You know, look, they could do some damage here, get to the postseason, not just be a one-and-done or losing a couple rounds. Eastern Conference Finals should be the goal. Whatever happens from there, you take your chance. We're talking to Brian Compton, covers the Islanders for NHL.com. You mentioned home ice advantage. A caller called about this earlier, and I wanted to bring it up to you. What's the deal with the splitting the games here? Because that cannot happen. Look, it may be the first round. If they need to give Barclays a game or two, fine. They can't be messing around here. You're trying to win a Stanley Cup. At some point, that's got to take precedent over the money that Barclays is getting. Is there any way that it's not going to be split? Do we already know what it would be if the Islanders make the postseason with the home and with Barclays and Nassau?
It was the same situation this year as last year before. The season got underway. They were going to play 21 at the Coliseum and 20 at Barclays. And then when they broke ground at Belmont before the season started, they added seven more to the Coliseum. So then it became 28 and 13. I asked John Ledecky, I asked Lou Lamoriello, what's the deal with the playoffs? Where are you guys going to play your games? We all know what happened last year, and they gave me the political, well, we have to make the playoffs first. So, Sal, I don't have an answer for you. I would like to think at minimum, this is just me speaking, I'm not speaking for the league, I would like to think at minimum that they would play the first two rounds at the Coliseum, and if they somehow make it to the conference final, can they ignore the enormous sweet differential between Barclays and the Coliseum, which is about 100.
See, they can't do that, though, Brian.
But now it's 100 and change to 11. That's a ton of money.
But they're going to choose money over the Eastern Conference Finals.
I'm not saying that they are, but I am saying that it's a business, and I just don't have an answer for you. I would like to think that they're going to play at least one more round at the Coliseum, but we'll see. They might play all of them at the Coliseum. I honestly don't know.
Well, I mean, I'm glad that we don't know yet. I thought maybe it was decided to where they're going to split
it. It has not been decided.
And there's no rule, so they can themselves choose where they go, correct?
It's ultimately the league's decision.
The league's decision. Now, the league is going to get money. The league gets money based off of whatever.
Once the playoffs roll around, the league gets a share of the revenue from ticket sales. So,
see, I'd rather it be, if you're going to do the Barclays thing, do it early. I'd rather them have it in the first round. But then
you know the fans are going to riot because they won all the games at the Coliseum, right?
But so, that's the way it should be. And the trots and the players, I guarantee you that to a man, they're going to want it at the Coliseum too. All due respect to Barclays.
They don't, the players that I've spoken to, there's no secret there. They want to play all the games at the Coliseum. So we'll see how it goes.
Then there should be no issue here. I mean, what if the Nets go on a run? Maybe that's the only way. Cross your fingers that the Nets will be on a run in the postseason. But no, I mean, Brian, this is going to be the biggest question mark moving forward. The Islanders are going to be a playoff team. They're a legit playoff team with a chance to go do some serious damage, dare I say, compete for a Stanley Cup. And we're going to mess around here with Barclays and Nassau Coliseum? I mean, that is absurd.
Sal, I think there's a decent chance that they already know and they just haven't told us yet. And I don't think they told us till February or March about what was going to happen last year. So we'll see how it goes. But like I said, I asked a co-owner and the general manager of the hockey team what's the deal, and they wouldn't give me an answer just yet. So we'll see how it goes.
Either way, when you think about where this team is right now with Lamoriello, with Trotz, minus Tavares, with the success they've had this year, with the ground being broken on a new arena, it is, I mean, the Islanders have come a long way in a few years here, right, Brian?
Oh, my God. I mean, I don't think anybody saw this coming, at least not this quickly, Sal, especially when, you know, like you said, you lose a guy like John Tavares, who was their captain and the face of the franchise for 9 years, and you don't replace him, really. I mean, I know that they have Barzal waiting in the wings there, you know, winning the Calder Trophy as the Rookie of the Year, but, you know, not even knowing who your number one goaltender was going to be when Lou Lamoriello first got the job, not knowing that Thomas Greiss could respond the way that he has after the last season he had under Dougie Waite, where he was probably the worst goalie in the NHL, and look at him now. Everything it has just turned to gold for this hockey team over the last 2 years. It's crazy. It really is.
Is there any chance Lou and Trotz can maybe work for some other teams in this town? I mean, we need to get it turned around here. Yeah, I got to give
good
credit.
Good luck seeing the Islanders let out of these guys go anytime soon.
Hey, thanks, Brian. We appreciate you a couple of minutes, man.
Anytime, Sal. Thanks for having me. Take care.
Brian Compton, NHL.com. I got to give credit to producer Fleegs, who came up with that question. And you would think, now, producer Fleegs is a big Islander fan, but he's also a big Mets and Jets fan. And when he first got Brian on the phone, he's like, oh, yeah, and Knicks. Oh, Brian, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing good, man. Couldn't be better. I'm an Islander fan. And I'm thinking to myself, you're a Jets and Mets and Knicks fan. Of course you could be better. But yeah, producer Fleegs, your Islanders here, they're carrying this town. I mean, this is a ridiculous streak that they're on right now.
Yeah, and I'm trying to forget about the other three.
Yeah, exactly.
At least the two that are playing right now.
Hey, look, they got a chance, man. And they can't mess around with these home games. Get the home. I don't care how much money they're losing. It's not worth potentially giving up a Stanley Cup, run of the Stanley Cup. Play the games at Nassau where they belong to be played.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.